offers more relevant alternatives than to confuse the issue by multiple candidates on the left.
What do you envision as the future of the United States after the election in terms of peace and freedom and Black Panther Coalition?
Well, I think that the coalition will continue. I expect to come out of this election with a larger and stronger Peace and Freedom Party, with a larger and stronger Black Panther Party. We will still have our work cut out for us. Our work will be the same, except that the election will be over and we'll have to use other forms to articulate our message to the people.
My last question. Are you moving your base of operations from Oakland to New York City, as I've heard?
Well, we're not moving our base. The national headquarters is in Oakland, California, although because of the concentration of Black people in New York City, we feel that New York will be very important as one of the principal offices of the Black Panther Party, and we would welcome the Black Panthers in New York to take on as much business as they possibly can. The Ministry of Information of the Black Panther Party has its headquarters also in the Bay Area in California, but we recognize that the news media is centralized in New York City, so we expect the branch of the Ministry of Information here in New York to be more functional and perhaps even more important than the central headquarters branch.
Thank you very much.
We've just heard Judith Mage, vice presidential candidate, and Eldridge Cleaver, presidential candidate for Peace and Freedom, discussing their platform with Kay Lindsay. This is WBAI in New York City. The time is 13 minutes before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Our next regularly scheduled program will be at 2 o'clock. It will be Eldridge Cleaver at California Hall. Until then, a short musical miscellany.
I heard a young boy say, "No, my dad's not here today. You know the police, they came and they took him for a ride. And they blamed him for the war. You know the one they call the war against the poor. But we will not bow down. Genocide. We will not bow down.
Bow down.
We will not bow down.
We will not bow down to genocide."
Reverend McPhailin's kids didn't get very old. He got no heat and his kids got cold. Child he's had this year that died. And Bob Hope says, "Drop the bomb, clean up the hall, I mean Hanoi slum. But we will not bow down to genocide. Against the Vietnam before. No, he would not be a tool of genocide. They gave him 9 months in a cell, then sent him to a veteran Jim Crow jail. But he would not bow down to genocide.
Yeah.
you point a finger at the Pope. Well, the graves and the jails and the cannons, they'll open wide. But I got a feeling in my brain, a feeling that I've gone stark, raving, sane. But I will not bow down to genocide. They try to put a gag in freedom's mouth, but that gag is wearing thin this whole world wide. There's a mini man in jail for me and for everyone who would be free, but he would not bow down to genocide.
Said the burgomeister about the camp on the edge of town. It was Hitler and his crew that tore the German nation down. We saw the cattle cars, it's true, maybe they carried a Jew or two. They woke us up as they rattled through, but what did you expect me to do? We didn't know it all, we didn't see a thing. You can't hold us to blame, what could we do? It was a terrible shame, but we can't bear the blame. Oh no, not us, we didn't know. We didn't know, said the congregation, singing a hymn in their church of white. The press was full of lies about us, preacher told us we were right. The outside agitators came, they burned some churches and put the blame on decent southern people's name to set our colored people aflame. And maybe some of our boys got hot and a couple of niggers in reds got shot. They should have stayed where they belong, the preacher would have told us if we'd done wrong. We didn't know it all, we didn't see a thing. You can't hold us to blame, what could we do? It was a terrible shame, but we can't bear the blame. Oh no, not us, we didn't know. Didn't know, said the puzzled voter, watching the president on TV. I guess we got to drop those bombs if we're gonna keep South Asia free. The president's such a peaceful man, I guess he's got some kind of plan. They say we're torturing prisoners of war, but I don't believe that stuff no more. Torturing prisoners is a communist game, and you can bet they're doing the same. I wish this war was over and through, but what do you expect me to do? We didn't know it all, we didn't see a thing. You can't hold us to blame, what could we do? It was a terrible shame, but we can't bear the blame. Oh no, not us, we didn't know.
We hear next played again Sam, selected programs from the week's broadcasting. Dick Gregory spoke at Rutgers University this past Tuesday, October 13th, and here's a tape of that talk, which runs approximately an hour and a half.
Thank you very much. Can you people back up in the cheap seats here, okay? How about over here? Can you hear all right? You okay back there? Okay. I mean, I don't know about you, but it really haven't got nothing to do with Dick Nixon. I get uptight any time the president leaves the country. I just get a sneaky suspicion he might know something. So I was worried the whole time he was gone. Not to mention that whenever Nixon leaves the country, Agnew becomes the number one boy in charge. No, that should make you sleep better at night, huh? No, I just, when you think of Agnew being number one, I mean, see, Agnew just reminds me of the type of guy that would make a crank call to the Russians on the hotline. Although I kind of dig Agnew myself because I think Agnew's putting everybody on. I don't believe it's humanly possible for one man to be born that dumb. You see, if Agnew was as dumb as he wants us to believe he is, he wouldn't be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. Agnew's so dumb, I wouldn't be surprised if Agnew hijacked a train. He said, take me to Cuba. So let me say it's a pleasure to be with you young folks this morning. I guess I can truthfully say that I spent about 98% of my time on college campuses today, and for a reason. And that reason is that you young folks in America is probably the most morally, honest, ethical, dedicated, committed group of young people that's ever lived in the history of this country, born none. And I hope you youngsters do not have to continue to read these old right-wing, cracker-controlled newspapers to find out who you are or what you all about. Because the average established newspaper in America today is not morally sound enough to even to discuss you young kids with yourselves. And what they call you, hippie, yippie, bearded, irresponsible, smelly kids, whatever the hell that means. And my reaction to that's always been, because you have a beard, why does that mean you have to stink? They don't say nothing about Abraham Lincoln. He didn't only have a beard, he was ugly too. And so I say to you young folks in America today, I hope you understand your importance. I hope you youngsters do not only understand, but become aware of the fact that the very fate and destiny of America depends on you. And that's a hell of a job we left for you. Oh, you hear us sitting around talking about the problems confronting America, how difficult they are to solve. And it might scare you, it might frighten you. But please understand, all the major problems confronting America today was created by man, which means they can be solved overnight. If you use moral ethics and statesmanship ability and not sick, tired, degenerate political muscle. Everybody talks about crime. Damn right, how you gonna solve crime talking about law and order instead of talking about bread and butter? And so if you listen to the political muscle in this country, then you understand the job you have to do. Not only the country, the whole world. Everybody's talking about population explosion. And everybody's talking about, at the rate we are producing people in the not too distant future, the world will be destroyed. It'll be so many people. So what do? Get rid of the people. And so everybody start getting rid of people. Now they talk about nuclear bombs, and they talk about the chances are with nuclear stockpile the way it is, man for the first time can wipe out one another, and nobody talks about getting rid of nuclear bombs. So you got two forces. One, overpopulation they say is bad, and you know nuclear bombs is bad. Nobody wants to get rid of nuclear bombs. Everybody wants to get rid of people. There's something wrong. Because if both these forces is supposed to be bad, how in the hell are you going to do away with one and not do away with the other? You got a big job. And you young folks do not have the luxury today to have all the hang-ups that we had when we came through before you. So I say you youngsters got a big job. And understand one thing, if this country falls anytime within the next 4 to 6 years, and there's a possibility she will fall from the inside, and there's nothing new, hell, it's happened before. The Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians was too strong to be destroyed from without and crumbled from within because they went morally bankrupt. So if this country falls from the inside anytime soon, we so-called good folks cannot blame the bad folks. Just one good thing about the bad folks in America. They've been thoroughly bad for 400 years. They ain't tricked nobody there. I mean, there ain't no surprise. They've been thoroughly bad, and anybody that don't understand what's going on, that's your fault. The problem in America is that the good folks just decided to get good. That's what our problem is. And so now the burden fell on you youngsters. I travel through the country and I hear young people sitting around talking. Everybody's talking about repression today. And when they get through talking about it, they want to blame Nixon or Agnew or Attorney General Mitchell for repression. Now there's a whole lot of things you can blame them three for. But repression is not one of them. I guess if you really want to blame the repressive force you find in America coming down on you young folks, I guess you'd have to blame yourselves. Because the reason you find this repression is because this moral force you brought out into the middle of the street. And had you brought this moral force to the middle of the street 5 years ago, LBJ would have brought repression down on you. Matter of fact, we can go even further than that, which is going to upset a whole lot of folks. But had you brought this moral force in the middle of the street when John Kennedy was president, Kennedy would have brought repression down on you. Well, a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that name is the biggest trick in the history of this country. I don't know about you white folks, he really tricked the hell out of us black folks. You realize the United Fruit Company is owned by the Kennedy family. You know what United Fruit Company put them people through in South America every day in the week? Every time you see a banana, you ought to feel like revolting. And you know, I hear so many people talk about Nixon today like they don't know where he came from. Yeah, he's a homegrown boy. Born, raised, and produced in this country. A whole lot of people like to believe he just floated down here from outer space. A lot of people don't even know how he got to be president. Well, how he got to be president, you know? He ran for the office of sheriff. Talked about nothing but law and order. So he was elected to sheriff. We have no president this time. But a lot of people, you know, wonder how he got in. Like he just came down here from Mars with some bazookas or something. He's up against the wall, I'm your president. No, that's not how he got in. He ran. And your mamas and daddies put that freak in office. That's how he got in. That's right. That's how he got in. So if you want to know how sick this thing is, check out your house. So I say to you youngsters, understand what's going down today. It's very important because of the job you have. What you see happening in America today is this moral force is scaring us. You are scaring the hell out of us. Now, whether you like it or not, all men have one basic right, is to become afraid. And once a man becomes afraid, he have a right to react to his fears. And so all this stuff you see going down today, you got scared. You scared us to death. And we're reacting to it. If I look out here this morning and think I see a ghost and get so frightened and start running out of here and stomp 10 of y'all to death on the way out, there's not a court in the world can send me to jail because I'm basically reacting to a fear. And so them hard hats in New York City and this repressive force that's coming down in America, again, I say that's your fault. You've raised a moral issue and a moral force that have scared this country to death. And that's why I say to you youngsters, you have to have a certain type of wisdom, a certain type of coolness. Maybe you better understand what's going down. Because you are coming through at a time in America when us old fools have left you youngsters a hell of a mess to clean up. And if you just observe what's happening around you, you'll see where it is. You want to know where America is, just check Nixon's trip. Man, this country can get in such bad shape. Nixon got to fly all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to hug and embrace the number one fascist freak on the face of the earth, Franco. And he was hugging him too, baby. And happy to be there. So I said, you youngsters got a mess to clean up. You living at a time when the President of the United States will refer to college kids as bums and tramps, but he's never said a derogatory word about dope pushers. Dig it now. Be honest with you, Nixon ain't never said nothing derogatory about the Viet Cong. Maybe if Nixon and Agnew would start bad-mouthing dope pushes as much as he's bad-mouthing college kids, maybe the hard hats in New York would get upset and for lunch one day go and attack some dope smugglers. But it's just so scary when you sit and look at how far our insanity goes in this country. Dick Nixon get on television the other day with a pure political trick, talking about he got a peace plan, and hey, these fools in America are too scared to say it's a political thing. Everybody say, yeah, sure sounds good. Sure, It might have sounded good had it came in June and not 3 weeks before the election. If it would have came in June, he might have sounded like he was making statesmanship overtones, but it comes so close to the election. Oh, that was a funny speech he made the other night. And he, all at once, Nixon got so concerned over the war prisoners. Release all the war prisoners. How in the hell can a man be so concerned over prisoners of war, but nobody in America seems to be concerned over the soldiers that's been to war and come back laying up in these VA hospitals with nobody attending them? I mean, one don't make sense. But the war prisoners is a political issue and it tricks the fool. All these old sick, tired, degenerate American legions, they ought to be at the VA hospital taking care of them veterans since they're so uptight, so patriot. So you youngsters, I hope you understand why the system's coming down on you. Because America's crazy. That's right. And she's following the pattern of crazy folks. Most crazy folks attack people they love. You ain't never read where a crazy cat went out and attacked a cat with a bazooka. That's right. You always read where cat went crazy and wiped out his family. Then when the cops show up with the big gun, he put his stuff down, come out crying. So I say, I hope you youngsters in America today will understand repression. You see, if you understand repression, then you will also understand that repression is more detrimental to the oppressor than it is to the oppressed. And once you understand repression, then you will see that. Let me explain repression to you real quick. Let's assume that we are all sitting gathered here today in a one-room kitchenette. Now, there's a lot of white folks don't know what a one-room kitchenette is. So let me briefly explain to you what a one-room kitchenette is. If we was all in a one-room kitchenette this morning and lived there, that means we sleep in that one room, we go to toilet in that one room, we cook in that one room, we eat in that, it means we live in one room. You can usually recognize it because it got one door. And if you ever go in a one-room kitchenette and see more than one door, you can believe one of them doors is a drawing. Yeah, a lot of people in one-room kitchenette put pictures on the wall and make you think it's more than one room. Time you're in a one-room kitchenette and looking out the window at 11 o'clock at night and see the sun, that's a picture. So now, assuming we all in this one-room kitchenette, and some of us decide we want a little coffee. So they come up to the front of the room where the gas stove is, and they put some water in the tea kettle, put the tea kettle on the stove, turn on the fire to heat up the water for some coffee. And meanwhile, when the water get to boiling good, they done got so engrossed in the conversation, they forgot they put the water on. So then the tea kettle started making all kind of strange sounds. Well, now, way back in the top bunk is Attorney General Mitchell. He don't like coffee anyway. So when he hear the tea kettle making them strange noise, he tells two of his marshals, go up there and plug up the hole. That's called repression. When you understand repression, you will understand that repression is more detrimental to the oppressor than it is to the oppressed. Oh, once they come up and plug up the hole, they be sitting there grinning and say, well, we cut that noise out, didn't we? They sure did for a few minutes. You see, nature has universal laws. And whenever you violate universal law, nature will react.